Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Federation. With me today is author Leslie Wall. Welcome, Leslie.
Oh, it's so great to be with you this morning.
Yeah, it's terrific to be with you as well. So, Leslie, I know that I've seen you at the Catholic Writers Guild conferences, and I know you're a respected author. How did you come to be a writer?
Oh, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. Because it's kind of, I feel like it, especially become a Catholic writer, came about in a different way. I always was creative ever since I was little, you know, coming up with little things, stories in my mind, but I never really pursued it or thought about being an author. But then when my children were starting to get like upper elementary, especially my oldest son was quite a good reader. And so he was ready to kind of move on to young adult novels. But there were so few that I could find, you know, that were decent for him to read. And I just kept thinking, wasn't even looking for Christian books necessarily, just clean books. And this was a while ago, so it's even gotten so much worse since then. But I just kept searching and wondering, like, why doesn't anyone write the kind of books I'm looking for? Like fun adventures, a mystery maybe, but with just good themes and, you know, good characters and so forth. And as I kept searching, the idea for my first book, The Perfect Blindside, just like came into my head, like the storyline, the characters, everything. So I finally started writing it down because I'm like, okay, I feel like this is God telling me something. So I wrote it all down. And of course, my first several drafts were terrible because I didn't know what I was doing. But I found a great mentor through a local chapter of a writing group here in town. And so I was able to, you know, craft it and figure out how to do that, and just been writing ever since. And on that note, like I said, the first book, I wasn't even thinking necessarily Christian, definitely not Catholic, even though that's what our beliefs were and all, but I just wanted a clean book. And I kept sending it out and sending it out and not getting any feedback, but I just knew that I was supposed to keep on this. And one day I came across a Christian book in a bookstore. It's very similar to mine. It had adventure, mystery, some humor, slight romance. But it had one more thing that mine didn't, and that was faith. And I thought, oh, of course, it fits perfectly because I, you know, our faith is just part of our life. That's why I wanted our characters to have too. And so I added that, and suddenly I had so much interest in it, and was picked up by a Catholic publisher, Pauline Books and Media. And yeah, since then I've just been doing that same genre, and it's so enjoyable. And I'm hoping it, you know, can inspire teens to kind of keep their faith close to their heart and to rely on it when they, you know, they have troubles and so forth.
It's so beautiful. And how does your faith inform your writing?
So I am actually a convert to Catholicism. So, which I, over the years, you know, come across all those crazy things that people think about Catholicism. And so I actually try to address some of those in slightly in the story. So mostly the stories are adventurous mysteries. And like you said, but I do like to kind of add little things that they're praying a novena, or, you know, just talk about the relationship we have with Mary, you know, little things like that. So people can understand a little bit more, because I still feel like there's a lot of misconceptions out there for this beautiful faith.
Now, so I think you explained what drew you to writing for teens, but what keeps you writing for them? I mean, you had that initial interest with your children, but then how did that grow?
Yeah, that's a great question. My husband sometimes say I just never grew up, because I'm still a teen at heart, I guess. There's just something about that age group, especially I like around 16, because they can drive, and so they can get into more, you know, you can do a little bit more on the storyline with them. I don't know. It just was drawn to them. It does get a little harder now that my kids are older, they're adults now, and to try to, keep up with the teens a bit. But I don't know. I just have always loved that. And I even enjoy reading teen novels myself, even at this age, and which I find that quite a few people do that because I have a lot of adults who enjoy my books too. So there's just something about that age where you're still, so excited about life in the world, but you have the troubles that come, but they're not as overwhelming as, adult trials and so forth. I do have some interest in doing some middle grade eventually, and I actually do have one picture book out, so I kind of go all over. But when the Perfect Blindside first came out, the publicist at Pauline Books and Media told me about a group on Facebook called Books for Catholic Teens, and I joined that, and I suddenly was found myself like all these other authors that wrote at the same thing for teens, for Catholic teens, which was amazing. They even know there was all these other books out there. And so got to be friends with quite a few of them and so forth. And one day, so I'm in Colorado, and one of the fellow authors, Susan Peake, she writes saint stories. She lives in Kansas. And so we decided to do an event together for a homeschool group out in Kansas. And when we were at that event, we were like sharing about all these great Catholic novels for teens that we knew about. And one of the parents said, that's great, but it would be really neat if they were could be found in one spot. And so we're like, oh, that's a really good idea. And so we came home from that event and we actually told some of the other authors that we knew. And so we decided to create our own site, which is CatholicTeenBooks.com. And so now there's 16 authors on there. We are always growing with new books. New members sometimes join, and so we do have one spot now for families to find a whole bunch of great books from middle grade all the way through like college age. And so it's just a really good resource. And it's interesting because those author friends now become so close to me that became more than colleagues. We're friends, and in fact, this summer we just got together recently, some of us. So it's really fun to have that community, which was just a benefit I never even knew was out there or expected that part of my writing career.
That's so terrific. Tell us about your latest book project. That's okay.
Sorry,
That's
thank
all
you. Can
right.
I pause for just a second? That's my
Sure.
cleaner. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So we're
Yeah,
speaking with Leslie Wahl, an author extraordinaire who specializes in teen books and teen books of faith. And we really believe that it's important to educate teens about the life issue because the life issue is so critically important to their lives. And we find at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation that the more that we educate teens, the more likely they are to embrace the cause of life. And so it's critically important to reach out to these younger people with resources such as these teen books. So, Leslie, tell us about your latest project.
So at the Catholic Teen Books, one of the things we decided to work on together was to create some anthologies, so short story collections. And so we have four currently that are published. One that is a Christmas theme, one that's a Lent theme, one that's just it's called Secrets, Visible and Invisible. They all have some kind of interesting secret in it. And then we had one Treasures, Visible and Invisible, which had a St. Patrick relic passed through each story. So we have our fifth anthology coming out right now, and it is called Shadows, Visible and Invisible. And it's all about the Hallowtide Triduum of All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day and All Souls Day. So they're kind of a little maybe on the spooky side, not terrible, but it's kind of fun to be able to write some different kind of stories. And the Catholic background, like I think a lot of people don't realize that Halloween actually has a Catholic background. And so we thought it might be fun to address that and show that. So there's seven different stories by seven authors. And it's just kind of a fun project. And we love doing these anthologies because we get to work together a little bit more than usual. And it's just really fun.
And what do you hope your readers come away with after reading these books?
Well, so this one particularly, one of the themes that really is starting to come out through most, a lot of the stories was how we can pray for those in purgatory. And that's something, teens might not even think about or understand or know about. And so how that our prayers are really important for those souls. And so that's kind of one of the things that we're hoping that can address and highlight for the teens through these entertaining stories. But that's what we always hope, that they learn a little bit more about their faith and can deepen it through the entertaining stories.
You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We are speaking today with author Leslie Wahl. Leslie, do you think that writing can help transform the culture?
Yes, I really do believe that. In fact, that's kind of my mission, I guess. I feel like my writing is a ministry in ways because, like I said, the teens, they want fun stories and so forth. And everyone enjoys some entertainment and stuff. But we can reach them through these stories by just, I like to do it in a gentle way. Of course, none of the stories we want, hit over the head with a faith theme or something, because then that isn't engaging to that to teens especially. But it's just a way to reach them at a different level. For instance, like characters that go through a situation and they find out the church teachings on it, or they can pray when they're going through something, or have conversations with youth group leaders or so forth. And I think these are like everyday things that happen to teens, but to show that, that is a normal thing, and these characters also do that. So I'm always hoping, like I said, to in our all the books on our site, we're able to address different themes through a Catholic lens.
You know, a thought came to mind that there is so much competing for the time of these teens these days. I mean, there's sports, there's extracurricular activities, there's their homework, there's TikTok, there's all kinds of social media, Instagram. So, do you find that there is still a market for reading for teens?
That is a really good point. And we have heard from people say that. They're like, I don't know if I can pick up a book because my kid only likes to be on the computer or whatnot. But we also find many families who are searching for something like this to give their teens an alternative, especially as things have gotten darker and on the internet and the phones become too obsessed, we're obsessed with them. And so we find a lot of people have been reaching out, and on our site we try to do fun things. That we have a newsletter, so there's giveaways, so the teens can be interacting with that. We have book trailers, so they like to see those. Some of the books, our audio, which sometimes the kids like, but it is interesting. They just we get a lot of teens that have been interested in it, and I'm hoping that that'll keep growing. And like I said, the parents and family members sometimes find the books. I like to take the I do some events, and I'll take a lot of our books to different places, so I'm able to interact with people one on one. And it's so interesting because they'll come tell me a story. My teen had this kind of situation. Do any of your books match with that? And so it's really I think it's such a tough time for teens especially. Because, like, of all those things you mentioned, it's just so difficult. But this gives a resource for families in a gentle way, but in an entertaining way, but a place that they can provide some extra faith for their kids.
What advice would you have for a young person who's considering writing?
Yeah, that I get a lot of teens too that reach out to me, and I really enjoy. Sometimes I'll get to read some of their stories, and it's so inspiring to see. One of my biggest things, which I had to go through, you have to find a mentor that who really knows what they're doing and will give constructive feedback, which usually is not a parent or a friend, because we, of course, love everything that, so someone we love creates, but like a teacher, a librarian, something like that. And there are some groups online, and I think the Catholic Writers Guild has been trying to reach out to some of the younger writers, because it's such a, yeah, all that potential there, and to help them craft it, but also figure out, yeah, all the writing things and how to have a storyline go and the dialogue, and there's all kinds of things in there. But I would say, if you can find some kind of mentor, like I said, a teacher often can maybe guide you in that right direction, that can really give the feedback. Because my first mentor was pretty brutal, but that's what I needed, in order to grow. And she did it in a kind way, but if I had just given it to my husband, he would have been like, "That looks great," So you need someone who can give that honest feedback.
Very good advice. And I remember well before I had published my first book, I met a Catholic author, Jennifer Fulwiler, at a conference, a women's conference. And I told her that I had aspirations of writing books. And she told me, you have to be prepared for a lot of rejection. And those were sage words because I did undergo a lot of rejection. And it took a good year before I was actually under contract with a publisher. So I think that we also need to prepare our teens for that fact that they may be very good. And very talented, but they still may face some rejection.
Yes, that is so true. When I do school talks, I have a slide of some of the things. And the one slide is like a stack of papers. It's huge. My first draft on my first book. But then there's the caption that comes with it is I sent that first book out to 90 publishers and editors, and barely heard from any of them. A little feedback here and there, but I just kept going. I just felt so strong about that. I just kept going. So finally did get published. So, and I think a lot of kids are kind of shocked by that, that it took that long and that many. But it also was finding the right home and the right group that I should be addressing. But that is all part of the process. And so, and anything that we want to excel at takes so much time. As sports people, they have to work so hard at that. But so writing is a craft that you have to keep working on. And now that I had the first book, it was a little easier. You kind of know the different people in the market to approach and so forth. So it gets it did get easier, but it's always still a challenge when you're searching, because the publishers have a limited amount of space on their shelves that they can find. And so, or it's just not the right thing, project for them, and so forth. So you still get quite a bit of rejection. But within that, I also feel like, so the latest book I've been working on, I send it out to different publishers, and you get some great feedback. And then you have to sort through that and see what's going to work for your project. So I think being open to all that kind of feedback, and even if it feels like strong criticism, see what nuggets are in there to improve on your story. Because there's always some in there. And just when you think it's perfect, it's amazing, because it can even get polished even more.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that everybody needs an editor. You
Oh,
know,
yes.
I found that my books, thankfully, they've been shepherded by this great editor, and he keeps me accountable, and he has such good recommendations, and he's so encouraging, that can be helpful too. In addition to finding a mentor, if you can find a good editor who you can work with, that's helpful.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because that is key. In fact, I could tell young people too that are interested in writing to pay attention in school, because I apparently missed some of the lessons on that because I am like the worst. Commas are my nemesis for some reason. But so I rely heavily on some editors. In fact, my daughter, she has her own little editing company. She's my main editor, but I still even have multiple beta readers and several different editors I rely on because those little things slip in there. But before anyone's even going to take you seriously or look at your manuscript, it has to be, quite polished. They can help fix some stuff, but they need to know that you've been working on it and that you take it seriously too. So yeah, an editor is so key. I couldn't agree more.
So, what gives you hope as a writer?
Oh, well, like I said, hearing back from the families. So I was just at a conference. There's a wonderful Catholic family event in Wichita, and I've gone for the last number of years taking the books from Catholic Teen Books and my own. And each year I get people keep coming up who had read a book, not just mine, but other authors, and they were so inspired by it, so they want something else, or they will start, sharing about how they gave it to somebody, to read, and it affected them. And, so just seeing that our work actually, is making a difference. And it's because you'd often don't see or hear that as many people. I beg to give us reviews, people just often don't do that. So you all don't always hear. And especially when it's such a niche, a small little group of people we're kind of writing for, you kind of wonder, is this reaching anybody? And on our author group, sometimes we get so discouraged or something. It's like, this isn't doing anything. Why am I doing this? And then you get those little bursts and you hear that it is making a difference to someone's life. And so I feel like, that's our calling to be reaching this. God's using us in different ways. We all have our gifts and talents. And so hopefully I'm able to use mine in ways that he's approving of and happy with.
Yeah, it's just remarkable how you've been able to grow as a writer and as an author and reach this very important audience of teen readers. And I'm wondering, what goals do you have for the future?
Well, so our couple of things. So our Catholic Teen Books site, we keep growing and getting more authors because I feel like, it's great if people have my book, but when they are done with those, they were searching for more. So it's nice that we have like a whole bunch. And our site has books for, like I said, all ages, but we also have parental guidelines on there so the parents can see what's really on in the book in case they have worries about that. And I often wonder like where my writing career will kind of go, but I just so far keep getting inspired with ideas and so forth. And so it's kind of an exciting venture to see where it all leads. But we're always praying because I want to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit's like leading me to next. But the Catholic Teen Book site, I'm very excited about because I think that just is a great resource for families. And like I said, it's been just so fun to be on that with those authors and to kind of work together in our common goal.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people might be surprised at how much cooperation there is between writers of faith. I mean, it's not, I don't find it to be competitive. I find that everybody wants to support everybody else because they do have that common goal to reach out, to readers with this affirming message.
Yes, and I love that about especially the Catholic Writers Guild. Like everyone is so supportive and they'll review each other's books and give you feedback and so forth. Yeah, it's been so wonderful because I feel like you don't always have that in certain situations because people are competing, for that market, but it's not. Yeah, I love that everyone works together. And like I said, if someone likes somebody else's book, they might like mine. So if we all work together, it helps grow our audiences. But yeah, I think because of our faith, we of course want to sell a lot of books, but we also are doing it for others, to share our faith. And so if it can happen through somebody else's work, that is just beautiful too. So the Catholic Writers Guild has been such a blessing to me too. It's such a great community, isn't it?
It is. And we've got just about a minute and a half left. And I'm wondering, can you share with people where they can find out more about you and your writing?
Yeah, so I have a website. My name's spelled a little different, but I'm sure it's like in the show notes or something. But it's LeslieWall.com. Or CatholicTeenBooks.com. There's a link for me there. And that's where you can find our new anthology, Shadows, Visible and Invisible, and all the other great books by all the other authors. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as well. So you just kind of search those places right at the best.
That's wonderful. And do you have any final thoughts in the minute we have left?
Oh, just I hope that no matter where you are in your faith journey and what age you are, you can help find discover some of the great books out there in the Catholic faith. There's so many that are fiction and nonfiction, so there's so much. But I just really feel like as to grow in our faith, we have to keep exploring and having that it's just part of our life, surrounding ourselves with that. So that would be my only thought, I guess.
That's wonderful. You've been listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We've been speaking with author Leslie Wahl. Thank you for joining us today. It wouldn't be the same without you. Keep listening. And remember, most importantly, there is always a reason to choose life. We'll be with you next time. Take care.